Okay, great. Thank you so much for being here. This is February 28th, 2020. And I'm Grace Pregent. I'm the Associate Director in the Writing Center at MSU.
I'm Julie Bevins. I coordinate the Writing Center at Aquinas College.
And I'm Jill Reglan. I'm the lead faculty for the Writing Studio at Lansing Community College.
I am Nicholas Bonani, and I am a graduate coordinator at the Michigan State Writing Center.
And I'm Cole Tan, and I am also a graduate coordinator at Michigan State University.
I know we're not going to keep this air of formality for the whole time,
Oh.
but
and I was hoping you'd say
We
your last
just gotta
name
get
because I always
that.
wonder how to pronounce it. Wansittler, just how it looks. Okay.
Well, great. Thank you too for being our first in a series of many interviews. We don't have to touch upon all of these questions, but we'll work through them and spend a little time with the ones that make the most sense for us. We tried to have a very comprehensive range of questions considering the people we're going to be talking to and
Sure.
bringing to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's begin at the beginning. Tell
Yeah.
us about
Yeah.
when you worked at the center.
It's a very good place to
I
start.
know. I had to actually go back and look at my CV to remind myself because I've been at LCC for 23 years now, and I was at Mott before that. I mean, this is like ancient history, but it feels like it was yesterday. But I started there in 1992 before we had a writing center. There was no budget or physical space for it when I was hired, but there magically was a few weeks later. And I worked there for from 92 to 97.
Okay.
And yes.
So you
Yeah.
started before there was a center.
Yeah. I mean, just
Okay.
before.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yeah,
what did they even
and
call that space? Because I came in
Mm-hmm.
93, and my understanding is I was the first writing,
Right.
officially writing center assistant. We were calling
Person.
them
Yep.
graduate
Mm-hmm.
assistants at the
We were
time.
in Brody Hall.
Yep.
Yeah,
In
and
the basement
yeah,
of
we were kind
the
of spread out. Remember, and our offices were all the way around the other side of the horseshoe upstairs.
Right, I remember
And
coming down the stair
yeah,
hallway. But there were
yeah,
windows.
yeah,
Did it
yeah.
start in Brody? I heard a whisper that it
Yeah,
started in a building.
yep, in Brody Hall.
Okay, I
But now
thought it
this
started
was
in
just
another
it looked
building.
very different.
Pre-renovated.
Yes, totally different.
Oh,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. And the
Okay.
writing center, I mean, the area where we worked with students was in a large classroom, and then the writing center offices were kind of like across the hall and down the way. And then our graduate student offices were like in a remote part of the building upstairs. I don't think I ever even went there.
I don't
Did
think
you
I
know you had
ever
an office up there?
I we just hung out in the
Yeah,
major. Maybe I went there every once in a while, but we worked in the major area. When I think of working there with us, I think of moving chairs like this and just like sliding across the room.
That's what we still do half the time.
Chair walking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that it started in a building that is now torn down, the Writing Center. Maybe they mean just maybe they refer to the renovations of Brody that have just transformed the
Maybe,
space.
Yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
because it looks nothing like it did then.
Because it was really before there was a Writing Center in Brody, and then you and me and the Writing Center. It was called the Writing Center in Brody, and
Okay.
I think the next year we moved
Yeah, we weren't
to
there very
Bessie. For
long.
Bessie.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
And
weren't there
it's
very
the same
long.
space that I visited the other day.
That's so funny. And it was so great to see Julie like back in the space and having them return.
Have you been
Yes.
over there?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. So
It looks a
it's
lot different.
yes.
Yep. Yep.
But it's
So,
been that
yeah.
same room since
Yep.
after the first year.
Since it
First year.
moved out of
Okay.
Brody Hall, it's been in the 300 Bessie,
Yes.
Were
same
you in
place.
the conversations about starting the center?
Yeah, I mean, yes, my first encounter with any of it was I was moving into my apartment in East Lansing and I needed a job. And I had been a writing tutor at Alma College where I went as an undergraduate, and I thought, I wonder if the English department hires writing tutors. And I went over there and they were super excited, like, oh my gosh, there's two people down the hall right now talking about this, and you have writing center experience, and they're going to open a writing center in a few weeks. And so, like, I had like cobwebs in my hair and nasty looking, like middle of moving. And they walked me down the hall and were like, okay, here are the two people. And it was Sherry Thomas and Patty Stock, and they were getting ready to open the writing center like in a few weeks. And they hired me on the spot because I had done like writing tutoring before and done some reading about it. And but yeah, I don't know what your first encounter was, but we assembled that initial core team of people, and we really just we rolled up our sleeves and did a lot of reading and talking, and you know,
inventing. I came in after it had just begun, so you had started the conversation. And I graduated from the University of Toledo with my master's and applied for a PhD program at MSU and made a phone call and asked about graduate assistantships and said I was interested in composition studies. I didn't even know what I was talking about. But
we never do.
But Sharon Thomas called me back and said, would you be interested in interviewing for a position in the Writing Center? I'm like, I have no idea what a Writing Center is, but yes. So I traveled to MSU and met Patty and Sharon, and it was wonderful. I mean, they were still forming, and then we hit the ground running. Let's read the idea of a writing center. Yeah. That's where we started, and really they were still developing the philosophy and the mission and the practices. And there was I remember us working on it. There was one defined, but we certainly revised it and formed it. So
it's so fun. It's so weird to be in on like the first, the groundwork, right? And forming a writing center now. It's so weird to do that. So it's very exciting to hear your story.
And the funny thing is, I didn't realize really until years later what a big deal Patty Stock was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was just Patty to us. And, you know, I mean, she was there all the time and we'd chat every morning, you know, and it was like a few years later that I realized what a big deal she was in the world of comp studies.
And then
she became the president of the NCTE, and I was like, wow. you know, I didn't realize I was working with greatness all this time, because she just treated us like we were her equals and her partners. And
it was really amazing. She was a mentor, and she treated us like colleagues. And kind of like a mom, too. She was really good to us.
And Sherry as well, for sure.
And then after that, not too long after that, Laura Julier and Janet Swenson.
Janet Swenson is familiar. That name I know, Laura.
And she was
the four key people when we were over at Bessie.
Janet was a graduate assistant like we were, but then she quickly moved up into the ranks of, I think she's a full-time administrator now at LCC, or at MSU in the... What
she isn't,
because wasn't she English Ed?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That because I talked to her a lot about the portfolio project, and Laura was teaching in,
she might be like
Rhett.
A dean now or something.
I think she is.
Yeah, Laura.
Laura's retired though, I think.
Yeah, I think she just retired.
Now, you mentioned where the locations, location. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we're getting off.
No, you're great. This is great. This is very good. I'm just trying to respect everybody's time, but this is great. What services did you start with when you first opened?
Walk-ins.
One-on-one appointments mostly. And we did a few workshops that we would take to classrooms.
Because at the beginning, a lot of it was like, hi, we're in your classroom to tell you this is the Writing Center. This is what we do. This is why we're here.
Come see us. I don't think it was right at the beginning, but we did a classroom workshop on peer response writing groups and one on reading complicated texts.
Yeah, that's right.
I think those were our two, like...
I completely forgot about that one.
Yep, and we would go to different classrooms in different buildings on campus. Yeah.
And then we did the fishbowl, which is where I fell in love with ink shedding. And I've never stopped using it, never. It's one of the best get-at-it thematizing.
Yeah, but it was mostly, I don't know, did we even do appointments? It was mostly walk-ins.
And it was hard copy feedback forms, like paper.
I was going to say, there was probably no internet advertising, because that was the beginning of the internet.
It was.
I remember getting my first computer in, like, 96. So I was going to say, it was probably all just posters or going to classrooms and stuff.
And you were living in East Lansing, but I was living in Grand Rapids. And I remember that we would communicate with each other via email, but it was the modem where you had to, like, plug in your phone, and it made this... We would write, like, collaboratively write side by side when we were in the center, and then continue it via email.
Oh, wow.
It was a time lag.
Yeah.
The impatience I have now. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
It's so much better than it used to be.
Google Docs has changed how we
work. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I just remember looking at who was on the leadership team. I cannot remember exactly his association, but there were a couple of other grad students who flitted in and out, like some guy named Michael. Remember him? He might have just been doing a study for a project.
I remember I think there were like maybe six or eight of us graduate students. Bill McCall.
Oh, right. Oh, and then Chris Service, who died.
Yes. Yes. And then the really tall, the really tall.
She
wasn't
did.
There?
She had. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The really tall guy.
The really, Tom?
Tom. That was Tom something.
Tom Tall.
You two are great.
Tall,
this, see, this is why we wanted them together.
Yeah.
So they would do this. Yes, yeah, perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm looking around the room. There was
mm-hmm.
another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Visual memory.
This is Brody we're thinking of still.
Mm-hmm. This is way right. back in the mm-hmm. year one.
McCall, where is that guy?
Well, he then started the Writing Center. Well, he did laid all the groundwork for starting the Writing Center here.
Right.
And then he went to Lincoln Land Community College in Illinois.
Lincoln Land.
And I think he's still there.
You might want to
find
him.
I've lost track
okay.
of him a long
he,
time
I remember
ago.
Having
yeah.
some brainstorming yeah,
yeah,
sessions with
yeah.
him. He was a good thinker.
Bill McCall.
Bill McCall.
M-C-C-A-L-L, yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, how frequently you all were open or what types of hours they were held or...
It seems like we were open from, like, we had evening hours, like
yep.
maybe 9 to 8 p.m. or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Three
yeah,
or four days a week. Did
mm-hmm.
we have Saturday hours?
Because we, not at first, not over in Brody, but we did have evening hours.
Because mm-hmm.
that was helpful
mm-hmm.
to me. So I was there,
mm-hmm.
like, 3 days a week, like, all day.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning,
yeah.
you had evening hours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all held in Bessie.
In
Brody.
Yeah,
Brody.
Yeah.
First,
that
yeah.
was had one space.
Yeah.
One spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then it's
yeah.
continued in Bessie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I was there for a
yeah.
year, and I think you had
yeah.
started before I got there. So I'm thinking two
yeah.
years in Brody.
2 years in Brody. Yeah. It wasn't very long.
And by the time we moved over to Bessie, we
mm-hmm.
were collecting a cohort of undergrads.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We were,
yep.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't.
Was it all graduate students originally? Like,
I
it started
think so.
In the English department
yeah. you know,
with graduate.
Yeah, and then did we have, there were students in some kind of higher level English ed courses, 313 and 408.
Yes, and Patty's going to be really helpful
yes.
to you in this, because she had
yeah.
a vision, I remember
yeah,
us talking
yeah.
about it, she,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning
mm-hmm.
she was like,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be undergrads,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be
yeah.
cross-disciplinary,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we had them yet. She was still
mm-hmm.
forming how to make it professional.
Yes.
I knew that was always the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah.
when you think of the Writing Center MSU's history.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind?
Other than that, we're old.
No, we're not. It's a young history.
I mean, I guess now, like,
we're
looking,
experienced.
Yes, there you go. Looking back now, I just think about, like, what a great honor it was to be involved in getting that up and running, like, on the ground floor of things, and what a, you know... what a well-recognized, well-respected writing center it's become, like, in the international writing center scene. And little did we know at the time, like, what we were having a hand in creating, you know? And I think even now, even though it was 100 years ago that we worked there, I mean, we still have close connections with you all at the MSU Writing Center. I'm still in constant contact with, you know, Trixie and Diana before that, and trading ideas and collaborating, and when we can say here at LCC, you know, we talk to the folks at MSU about this, there's some respect attached
mm-hmm.
to that
mm-hmm.
still, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, being able to say, well, I was one of those people back at the very beginning is kind of like almost a badge of honor for me now,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you asked, what do I think when I think of
the history
of the Writing Center? Collaboration is the first word
yeah.
that comes to mind,
mm-hmm.
and praxis. It's
yes.
We had
a publication called
yes.
that. Yeah.
And it was always that, the intersection of theory and practice. And wow, the vision that Patty
mm-hmm.
and Sharon had, they
mm-hmm.
it's never died. It's just taken
mm-hmm.
on new life.
Mm-hmm.
I got from the beginning the idea that we were building something and that we were always going to be building it.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly have taken
mm-hmm.
that with me, and
mm-hmm.
I, from everything I've seen and heard
yeah.
from you, so
mm-hmm.
have you. It's
mm-hmm.
it's
yeah.
very collaborative, not static.
Mm-hmm.
So as and
mm-hmm.
really, you can see what has happened at MSU,
mm-hmm.
and what has happened at LCC, and what's
mm-hmm.
happened at Aquinas. We've borrowed that, so
mm-hmm.
it's this constant living intersection of theory and practice,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
and we're open to whatever parties come into play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're down
right
at the time right now.
Right?
That's
I want to make sure
doing.
We get this clip from.
Well, that's what I was going to do. I was going to write down.
I know.
The
I was.
Time,
I was looking at the
I was
time.
Like, oh, this was all so good.
I know. The vision has never done. Like, this was great.
Yeah,
was I just
so
accidentally
true.
Awesome there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was accidental. It was.
That's why conversations happen in a writing set.
It was a mic drop moment.
We should do all the interviews in series of pairs, seriously. Yeah. But
are you going to interview Sherry Thomas as well?
Well, one of our questions later is there anyone else we should be speaking
definitely
with?
Definitely her.
And I was going to ask you, and also if you, anyone at the time on campus or even clients or anyone who we can think of who you think we should track down. So that's definitely a conversation we're happy to have with you to get recommendations.
Yeah. Yeah. She's in Las Cruces, New Mexico now.
Yes, that's right.
But you should lobby for funding to go there.
Oh, yes.
You know.
I really don't see I could do this without Sharon and Patty.
I'll tell you something interesting when we get done in the mics off later, too.
Side note, mind Jill.
Stories of the conferences. My real favorite story.
What happens at the conference stays.
Or at least doesn't get recorded.
Looking through. Okay. Yeah, significant achievements from the center or outreach programs that were significant from the beginning. A favorite story you might have that you can tell while we're recording, Jill?
I don't know if it's my favorite or like specifically an outreach, but because I just said the word conferences, I was amazed from the beginning, and I've also learned to carry this forward, at how invested Patty and Sharon were in getting they're forming consultants out.
Yep.
So like International Writing Center Association Conference, and that was the big
one. Well, we predated the International Writing Center Association.
What was it?
It was the NWCA.
IWCA. It's 40 years old, IWCA.
I think. Well, it was the National Writing Center Association.
We went
to that conference in New Orleans.
That's right. And then we took undergrads to, I know we had to pass through Atlanta because one of our consultants, you asked, were there things, there's a later question about stuff that was happening in history at the time. I cannot remember her name, but she was terrified to stop to get gas on the way to the conference because it was in Atlanta. And she's African-American and she was very concerned about that something would happen to her physically, and the rest of the car, we were all like, "Wow,
we
on fumes passed through to get it somewhere else." It was really an incredible conversational moment, and I don't know, she was terrified. So, but the thing about that is, we grad students took these students cross country to the conference, and I remember
they trusted
Laura
us to go.
But do you remember? It used to be triptychs. Okay, there was no interview. Do you guys know what triptychs are?
They're little strips of maps that you flip through like every 17 miles that you drive or something. It's like having a Google map in paper form.
Right. Like we did the whole thing. We got students to commit to go to the conference. We helped them write up a proposal. We presented.
Yeah.
And we got some students to present with. We were super organized and we're like, okay, now we're going to go. And we're like, here's the day and the time we're going to meet. Everything was paid for. We're going to go. And Laura's like, how are you getting there? And I'm like, a map? She goes, you're taking children across state lines. So she made us call AAA, which honestly, it hadn't occurred to me.
And get a trip ticket.
You know, so that we knew where, because there's no GPS. There was no,
we
were going to do.
We had an atlas in the back
of the car.
And that was your job if you were
the highlighter and you would.
I know we went to a conference in Birmingham, Alabama, right? And did we go to one in Pittsburgh? Or was that
you went to the one in Pittsburgh. I don't think I did.
And I don't even think I was working on a mission.
I have to go. It's hard to remember. It all starts to blur now. I remember New Orleans because it was just you and me on the first night.
That was one of the funniest stories that comes to mind.
This is why Patty is a mom.
Yeah, Julie and I think Sherry and or Patty were supposed to go to this conference originally, but something happened, so the two of us ended up going to the very first National Writing Centers Association conference in New Orleans, and they unintentionally put us up in kind of a seedy hotel and sort of a, you know, kind of a scary part of town. We got there the first night, and we were scared. We were literally scared to leave our room. And there were we ended up moving the furniture up against the door because there was somebody beating on our door. And we were just scared all night. We woke up the next morning and we called someone in the writing center. We're like, we got to get out of here. And so they moved us to the conference hotel. But I just remember that first night there, just being afraid to leave.
Which, and I don't know how they did it. Actually, mm-hmm. it would be, now that I'm older, mm-hmm. it's entirely possible. I have no idea. We should ask Patty. Mm-hmm. Or should mm-hmm. ask them. Maybe they paid for it. Because, you know, it had already been mm-hmm. I have no idea.
I don't know how the funding structure responded. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So no, I remember we no. just mm-hmm. walked over there with our baggage, and mm-hmm. it was a really nice hotel.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, like, we met, you know, a lot of people at that conference who are now still, you know, big names. Mm-hmm. All the people whose stuff we had been reading with Patty Stock in this little room and discussing Writing Center Theory were at this conference. Right. And we were kind of like, whoa. You know, I don't think Stephen North was there. But
no, I do remember being very odd, though.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Almost wide-eyed, like some mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. fan group.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah,
I took like so that. Many notes, which I was mm-hmm. like, I'm not even really listening. I'm just odd starstruck. Mm-hmm.
yeah. The other, I think, really significant thing that we did, it started that first year, because I remember doing it in Brody Hall, was we started the Michigan Writing Centers Association. Mm-hmm. Like, the very first year that the MSU Writing Center opened, Patty and Sherry were really big on, go find out what other people are doing. And we were interested in, well, I wonder how many other writing centers there are in the state, and what do they do, and what do they look like, and what institutions are they in? So we, as graduate students, came up with this idea, and they were like, yeah, yeah, go do that. There was a lot of, like, just trust and, like, go find stuff. And so,
Jill is very humble. We did have a lot of conversations about it, but Jill made it happen. There is a Michigan Writing Center Association conference because of you.
But there was another graduate student, Emily. Do you remember her last name? She and I were the ones who kind of got that up, the ball.
What is Emily's last name?
I don't remember.
I can see her face.
Right.
And Jen Dawson came in there somewhere, too, mm-hmm. who she's now faculty at Aquinas.
Yeah, I remember that mm-hmm. name. Yeah.
She's in Ireland now, otherwise I would have dragged her with me.
Oh,
although she
yeah.
was several years into the Writing Center.
Okay, yeah.
She was a grad assistant. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this question is my favorite one, mm-hmm. and not to be biased, but mm-hmm. During your time at the center, did any significant world, political, or university events occur, and can you remember the center's approach or response? I'm trying to think of that time there, 92 to 97, 93
well,
to 97.
Jeez.
I had my first child.
Everything else sort of paled in comparison. You had all of your children right here, right? In grad school.
Yeah, pretty
in
much.
Fact,
yeah,
except
for
the
baby.
He was born in the courtyard in Bessie.
This is how myths start. I can't explain the lore right here.
I do remember that Patty knew because I was early pregnant and I would literally fall asleep. This is not what you're talking about,
no.
But I would be falling asleep in that little blast off area that was the grad offices. And then I pulled Patty aside. She was also my dissertation director. And I'm like, I need to tell you something. She goes, you're pregnant. I love you, Patty.
Well,
yes, I am. Was it the drool? I can't think of the world.
I know.
And if you can't, that's fine. We just want to make sure that we're trying to situate the center, right, in the larger...
Yeah, and this wasn't a university event, but I do remember a significant English department event that didn't directly involve the writing center, but a lot of our graduate students, there was a graduate student who committed suicide because they were accused of plagiarizing their dissertation, and I believe that the spouse of that graduate student, they were both graduate mm-hmm. students, it came out that they had written or were involved in it or had written large chunks of it. And so that was just a really, I never really knew those two people very well, but it was a kind of a dark time in some ways in the English department that sort of trickled over into the Writing Center, mm-hmm. just of people being really deeply affected by that, you know.
How could I have forgotten that? That
mm-hmm.
was significant.
Mm-hmm.
We did have many conversations in the Writing Center about plagiarism and about
mm-hmm.
addressing the personal aspect
mm-hmm.
of writing and
mm-hmm.
academic integrity. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was hard, actually.
Yeah.
And our grad classes talked
mm-hmm.
about it because you were a student
mm-hmm.
too. So and we
yep.
were taking.
Yeah, it came. It kind of yeah,
mm-hmm.
it came up in a lot of different contexts. Yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
I didn't know either of those people. Actually.
No, I remember their names, but I didn't ever know them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of a downer. Let's go back to the baby.
Were you working on a particular project at the time? Because what I think of is what was personal to me, which was the portfolio project. Because I spent 4 years getting to know students from the freshman year to graduation and beyond. Mm-hmm. And we asked them to collect.
Yes.
And like as in hard files, collect everything they were writing.
Yep.
Everything, not just academic papers, but notes. Mm-hmm. We invited them to keep everything. Mm-hmm. And then we'd invite them in a couple of times a year and record them. It's not this fancy. discussing their writing.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then we had conference presentations and some writing about it. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I handed it off when I left to Marianne Sherby, who her dissertation was all about it. Mm-hmm. And I know Sharon kept working with it because she and I wrote a lot of really cool things came out of it.
Yeah, you were more deeply involved in that than I was, but I do remember coming to some of those meetings with the students and things. Yeah, that was a really cool project.
I think, and Patty would remember this better, I think it was, if not the first, one of the first longitudinal, in-depth studies of collegiate writing.
Yep.
It was,
it would have to
it
be.
It was amazing. Yeah. And then, of course, I fell in love with the students.
Yeah, when you talk to student writers over 4 years of their experience. Yeah.
Well. In terms of culture, one key value or practice that has been or was a constant at the center from the beginning?
I keep coming back to that whole, the collaboration, you know. It never felt like an administrative top-down, here's what we're going to do now, and here's what we need you graduate students to get out there and do. It was maybe it was because of the time when we worked there right at the beginning, but it did feel like we were involved in inventing things from the ground up.
Inventing, that's good. Mm-hmm. And conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And relation.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is really tied to collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. But it's very relational, very conversational. Mm-hmm. There was always an emphasis on the person.
Yeah.
I remember, and I still talk about this with our consultants now, which is a writer is a person. You know, at the risk of sounding like, no duh. But it really matters. You know, it's easy to get text matters, obviously. We work with text. But this text, and if we talk about voice, it's attached to a human. Mm-hmm. And so it's very relational, which is why what we do in the Writing Center, a consultation requires conversation. And every text represents a conversation. I'm writing with many voices, and we're intersecting, and then I'm writing to someone, someone's.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so the relationship is big. I was really glad that Patty was always about face to face. And that's not to say there isn't a place for online consultations and all and that kind of thing. But this is me. I think if we lose this, like the physical presence, that's just a huge loss. I can't even articulate the
even
loss.
Even online, there's still synchronous. There is no asynchronous consulting in the center, which could be a kind of a connection to that same spirit.
And there was a recognition. I mean, it was the whole Stephen North, like, you know, you're working with the not just the writing, but the writer. And there was a recognition that those conversations took a significant period of time. I remember from the beginning, we went with like 50-minute appointments, I think. And I think that was really significant because the idea was, as it is now, to get to know the writer and where the writing came from and what the goals were and, you know, never just kind of let me see your paper here.
Yeah, actually, I had forgotten that. We talked a lot about time. How long are your consultations at MSU?
It depends on location.
It's like the main
30, 50.
There are some 30
hours.
Hour and 50.
Hour and 50. Okay. Oh, okay.
You can schedule and select 30 or 50 or an hour and 50.
Depending
upon
location.
Yeah. So online are only the 50-minute option. And then I think the main locations, it's hour. Satellites, you can do half hour or hour.
Okay.
And then at Bessie only, you could do 2 hour Yeah.
Are those two-hour appointments available just to certain types of students? Or
just to the space. So anybody who's coming to BESI, they can have two-hour appointments.
Okay.
And actually, we have just started a new pilot program where we're allowing people to choose whether or not they want it to happen in person or online, just on the schedule, which is allowing them to have a two-hour online option.
Wow.
So one-on-one, a consultant and a writer for 2 hours.
Yep.
Primarily, I would probably say it's primarily graduate students.
Yeah, that's mostly dissertation
students, large projects. Yeah. You know, they build relationships. They've been meeting every week for a year.
Yeah. I've had some people schedule them, and they don't realize that they don't necessarily need 2 hours. And you're like, you know, next time we could probably get this amount within an hour. But then there's other people that you're like, you know, there's 2 hour options.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of writing.
Yeah.
Well, that. That's incredible. It's kind of mind-blowing to me. And it also reminds me of some of our earliest conversations about being open and flexible. Because that is blowing my mind right now. It's very different from what we used to do.
Students with disabilities, right? The two-hour consideration gives you more time for them to take breaks as well as needed.
Or English isn't your first language because that already really asks for more time.
I think we also find people who are scheduling those 2 hours who, like, they're using the writing center to facilitate writing. Like, so that's, like, their writing time. So they'll come in and they'll write a little bit and then they'll pop over to us and ask us, like, how can I facilitate this better? How can I work this out? Is this clear? And then they'll go back to write for 10 minutes.
Workshopping.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that independent work that we're trying to,
So you have, like, a writing space and then floating. We do writing groups.
Well, we
kind of
like,
Oh, I remember having graduate student writing groups way back when we used to work there.
How would you describe the quality or the spirit of the center?
Joyful. It was cheerful. Lots of ideas going on all the time. I remember having team meetings that were workshopping sessions. I learned how to lead. Teach from watching Sharon and Patty guide those meetings.
I think that had more of an impact on what I went on and did as a classroom teacher than anything else, probably any class that I took or, you know, just kind of watching how things were done in those settings. But, yeah, it felt like we were really a pretty tight-knit, close group of people, and I remember just it being really exciting to work there and fun to come to work. And, you know, I mean, especially the two of us, I mean, we would literally sit down and, like, write things together and take turns, like, typing and talking and just got to that point where we could just create, we created a lot of stuff, you know.
Documents, and you have a question here about a manual. I don't remember there being a manual. but I do remember conference proposals and suggestions and lists and
emails about things we thought we should do
and feedback forms I honestly have never written with someone like I wrote with Jill.
I don't think I have since really then
That's why we had wheels on our chairs. I vividly recall even at Bessie like pushing my chair away because you had to capture a thought.
You two should write something. Sorry, this is all talking about that. But 30 years later, time to maybe.
I wonder if we could sit down and still do that.
It'd be
together.
So fun.
It
do some collaborative writing. It'd be fun if it's a multi-genre piece too.
Yes,
first we'll start with a script and then a poem. And if you could pipe in some music too.
Piece.
So in terms of these questions of organizational culture, I'm not sure how much they will apply at this point in terms of like hiring and recruiting undergraduate and graduate consultants, onboarding, training. I know that has probably been more formalized, right?
Did we
sense,
help hire
anyone?
I don't believe so. But there was a class that still exists now that Floyd taught, I think.
It's fun, isn't it?
Such a great class. I'm trying to remember when that class was created, but I remember co-teaching it with someone like my last year there. So, I mean, it was up and running, I would say, within our first year or two, because I think there was, not only were we reading and discussing and immersing ourselves in the early literature about writing centers, but I think there was this recognition that, well, the people who come here and work here should be exposed to at least some of that stuff as well. Yeah. And I think a lot of the students who took that class were English ed students and English majors, and not all of them then went on to work in the Writing Center. But that, I think that
But
became,
it was meant to be a forming ground.
Yeah,
for,
that from where we would hire people who had taken that class.
Mm-hmm. And again, a nod to Patty, because I think it was her idea to upscale the professionalism the Writing Center from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one does not simply walk into Mordor. One does not simply become
a
consultant.
Right. Yeah.
I know we don't have it on here, but was it only hourly work in the Writing Center?
Your assistantship, you said, was in the Writing Center.
It was.
Our assistantships were like half-time, you know, and I remember being told, there was no graduate student union or anything at the time. And I know half-time now means, what, 20 hours a week or something like that? And I remember explicitly being told, yeah, this is a half-time assistantship, but it's probably about 30 hours of work a week. And we were like, okay.
And to be honest, I don't remember what I was told. I remember saying, these are the days I'm going to be on campus to take my classes.
Yeah.
And I basically lived at the Writing Center.
Mm-hmm.
I actually can't think of the campus very well. I can't remember what buildings I walked to for my classes. Like, I really cannot. I remember walking across the bridge to get Subway on occasion, but mostly I think of the Writing Center as MSU, which is crazy because it's a city.
Right.
So, graduate assistantship. I have no idea how many hours it was.
I remember being told, you might think this is 20, but it's like 30.
Yeah.
I think Patty sat us down and told us somebody, whoever us was, at some point, you know, and it was like, okay, that's cool. You know, I probably spent more than 30 hours a week.
It paid for my classes, and I got a baby stipend.
Yeah.
And then they fed us all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
We still do that.
Yeah.
That has not changed. And you said from the beginning it was undergrad, grad, across disciplines, or there was at least an effort to hire across the disciplines. And
I believe that most of the grad students
were English.
English ed, retcom. And I think we were all grad assistants, but I think the undergraduates were paid by the hour. I'm not sure what their employee classification
was.
That's
right, because we had a huge conversation about what to be called.
Yeah.
Consultant or tutor.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and there were also, there weren't even other names at the time. There weren't coach, mentor.
Yep.
And
so we went with undergraduate writing consultant. Is that what they're still called now?
It is.
Mm-hmm. UWC.
Undergraduate consultant. That's in Patty's article, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why the intentionality around choosing consultant and consultancies.
Yeah.
What that means.
Yeah.
Right.
That has stayed the same.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else from organizational culture. We touched on. I did not know the course had been there since almost the beginning, so that was very exciting to hear.
It was very much English ed students, I think, though. They were pre-teachers.
Mm-hmm. And I for some reason, these two classes stick in my mind. They were English 313 and English 408, and it seemed like, I think one of them was like a practicum class for pre-service teachers.
That's right.
And it seemed like we drew a lot of people from those two classes.
And that's how we got Janet so involved.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where she really, and she ended up having an office back there, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if she taught those classes or helped to coordinate them or something. Yeah.
Patty's the person to ask about this, but even though it was almost entirely English ed people in those classes at first, I'm pretty sure her goal was to be cross-disciplinary, to have writers and consultants from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when we started trying to attract first-year students for the portfolio project, they were definitely across disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
So we were reaching into that introductory composition course, which I can't remember what it was called, but and trying to convince people that we were worth time for 4 years.
Yes.
Which, pizza,
right.
I believe, was the major draw.
Probably still is. Yeah.
And you said you don't remember there being a handbook at that time of any kind.
I don't know.
If there was one, I didn't help write it, to my knowledge, and I've never looked
probably
at it.
Never.
We'll say there wasn't. You mentioned that clients mainly dropped in, so there wasn't necessarily a scheduling system at that time of the new
kind. Seems like we had some kind of crude appointment book at some point later on.
Even in Bessie, people walked in and signed in on a sheet of paper, because I remember writing down the date and the time. It was like a lined sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember once we moved over to Bessie what
It seemed like at some point we started taking appointments, but there's some kind of paper record of
because you know you have a front desk there now. Mm-hmm. Was there a front desk there? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we staff it, or did we?
We did have a person at a even in Brody. We had like a person right inside the front door.
Right.
That sat at a desk, and I think we would take turns doing it.
That's because that I remember because we did. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I can't quite envision it.
And people would like sign in or give us some sort of information. Yeah.
Do you know what was in Bessie before the writing center? Was
that? You know, that area of the building was nothing. Remember, there was an area of the building where there were faculty offices, and an area where there were classrooms, and then like a little first floor, like enclosed hallway mm-hmm. that connected the two. And so that's that area that's there right now. There was nothing there. Like they built that as a new section of the building.
And that's when the writing center moved in.
And the writing center moved in. Yeah, they built that for the writing center.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. That. I didn't know.
I don't think I'm making it
up. I trust Jill. Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
And then, I don't know. Because
it's directly above, when you go in now, it's just that open lobby area.
It's
that
the open lobby,
the
writing center's above it, and I don't know what's above it, storage or something, or anything.
Is
nothing.
There anything?
Maybe there is no,
fourth
floor.
Right
is there. Yeah.
That's an interesting, because our question, the next question is about who advocated for the initial creation of the center
mm-hmm.
and the administrative support
mm-hmm.
and allocation of resources. And it sounds
mm-hmm.
like, I'm assuming that there was great
mm-hmm.
administrative support for the
mm-hmm.
center. I don't know if you remember at the time, as graduate students,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know if you remember at the time.
I remember that Sharon and Patty were
mm-hmm.
often talking to
mm-hmm.
administration and not just promoting the Writing Center, but explaining
mm-hmm.
it, like our
mm-hmm.
philosophies, our theories, our practices,
mm-hmm.
Why we existed
mm-hmm.
and how it mattered to the whole institution.
Yeah.
We were sort of, it's not that we were excluded from this. We were definitely, all conversations
mm-hmm.
came into the center, but it was a little bit beyond
mm-hmm.
what we were doing.
Yeah.
But those
mm-hmm.
two
I remember
were a force.
The phrase often being used that we were creating a culture of writing at the university, and I know the Tier 2 writing program, I mean, I think
mm-hmm.
that's what created the Writing Center
right
in the first place, and so right.
It's beautiful that you remember that phrase, because I realize the language I use today is the same.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
sign off on a lot of my
mm-hmm.
faculty communications. Thank you for helping us build a culture of writing
mm-hmm.
here. And it's it is
mm-hmm.
it's their phrase.
It comes from, comes from.
So who, how or who advocated for the initial creation of the center? It sounds like we came right out of the English department. I love your story.
Yeah.
Two people are talking down the hall.
And it was crazy because my my dad had died right before my senior year in college. I finished at Alma College, didn't know what I was going to do, decided to go to MSU, had no idea how I was going to afford it, neither did my mom, and I remember walking out of the building that day, like literally walking outside, and then it hitting me, oh my God, they're like waiving my tuition and, and giving me a job, and I'm going to get a stipend on top of that. I remember my mom was waiting for me over in the union, and I was walking over there, and then I started walking fast, and then I started running, and I was like crying by the time I got to her, because we had no idea how we were going to afford that, and she remembers that to this day too.
I cried on my way home too.
Yeah, so I mean,
why are they trusting me?
Right, it was like this. It was a huge, really, truly life-changing opportunity. And little did I know I was going to end up working in writing centers from that moment on.
It's not hyperbolic. It was a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
When the center opened, was the service widely celebrated across MSU? Were there any people who were suspect or unconvinced or upset by MSU's funding of the center as opposed to another endeavor?
You might be able to. I can talk about after I was there,
but
you were there at the beginning.
I mean, I know there were a lot of grand opening festivities and
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, the only other thing, I remember Patty and Sherry actively seeking out kind of every year a couple of people who were really suspicious of Writing Center work and kind of bringing them into the fold, inviting them to come and work with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they would look for the most vocally opposing, people who didn't get what we were doing and didn't see the need for it, or and bring them into the fold. And I remember working with some of those faculty, and they would kind of then sort of come around to see the value of things. I don't know if I remember a whole lot more than that.
It's cool to hear that that was from the beginning, mm-hmm. because for as long as I was there, I remember that too.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentle hospitality,
mm-hmm.
like as opposed to coming
mm-hmm.
into head-on conflict
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
folks, we just invite them
mm-hmm.
to experience the Writing Center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What good is it to tell somebody we're doing something fruitful for writers?
Mm-hmm.
Live it with us for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was hard to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share about the history? Any stories that come to mind? Any moments that you think it would be, you know, important if we're talking about storying the center? Anything else that you think we should talk about?
Just because this word doesn't come up, I just want to say that it's always been a place in my experience where voices were valued. So there was this place to experiment. There's a phrase that's become so used that it actually annoys me, safe space. But before that had, all the, it was just a great place
mm-hmm.
to try things out with words.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you need to add, Jill? Or?
I just thought of somebody else you should reach out to, maybe.
Great.
Well, I don't know. Linda Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
She was, one of our first, full-time support staff people.
Mm. That would be
and
great.
I saw her a couple years ago.
And
she, recognized my voice.
She did.
I was waiting to get a prescription at the MSU Clinical Center. And this woman in line,
Linda.
A few people in front of me turned around. She was like, Jill? And I recognized her immediately. Yeah, she was our full-time support staff administrative assistant, and she might have a really unique perspective because
she was very hospitable.
She was
of that welcoming.
She's still in the area. I would have no idea how to contact her. But
apparently, we need to go to where were you, Meyer?
I was in the MSU, the MSU Clinical Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So she must be
pharmacy
local,
there.
That is a great idea because
mm-hmm.
that she will have a unique perspective,
mm-hmm.
but also that speaks to what Sharon and Patty were able to create, which is an atmosphere of we are all colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
really,
mm-hmm.
I had a clear sense of leadership and who I could go to for not just mentoring, but also for help. But it was very, that collaborative
mm-hmm.
environment was
mm-hmm.
legitimate.
Yeah,
everybody's voice did matter. We were all part of creating
mm-hmm.
and building
mm-hmm.
what was happening there, and I didn't have a lot of sense of hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember her being rolling up her sleeves and getting in those meetings with everybody else, generating ideas, and she had a lot of knowledge about data collection and things like that. She was hired probably after we got over to Bessie Hall. She wasn't right at the beginning, but she had a really significant role, I think, in.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember.
And I don't even know how long. She left before I did. She wasn't there a long, long time. She had some health issues.
She left before I did, too.
Yeah.
And I left before
But
Jill
I remember
did.
Her being a really, really important voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, in Bessie, what were certain spaces allocated for when
oh.
that first
mm-hmm.
opened?
Oh.
You know, the big open room right now where it seemed like that's where we did all of our work with students.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a row of computers along one wall that we could use with students.
Which I think there still are
which
there,
I think
right?
There still
that's...
are. And then that room, when you walked in around to the left, there's
yes.
a room
the
with a door. That was the
graduate
student
office.
Okay. I think we've moved the computers into what is now the coordinator's office. It was when you come in the door, it's right... So if you keep walking, there's a little
glass
bar,
but
then there's a little room over here.
That
right.
was a conference room.
Yeah, that's
okay,
where we had our meetings.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where we used to have our graduate student workshops and our team small
leadership
brainstorming
team meetings
right?
Because
big team meetings were out in that public area where we had consultations.
Yeah.
And that, like, kitchenette
yeah.
area has
yep.
always been
yep.
there.
Yep, yep, yeah. The big the island with the buffet.
yes, where you have the offices
yeah.
to the right. Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's where Patty
offices,
and Sharon and Janet
yeah.
and Laura were.
Because
mm-hmm.
there were four offices.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And Linda had an office back there too, didn't she? But she worked
out in the front area, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would love to see Linda again.
And there was somebody named Bree too. Do you remember her?
She was an administrative assistant after Linda,
I think.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. She introduced me to Famous Taco. That's how I
right.
remember. I don't remember her last name, but Famous Taco Bree.
You'll notice food comes around.
Yeah.
The
house. That wasn't an important part of the culture, for sure.
It still is. Well, great. Thank
mm-hmm.
you to
yeah.
very much.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Thank you for making this happen.
Thanks.
I love going down memory lane.
Oh, I know. Well, I think we triggered a lot of memories for each other that we wouldn't have remembered, like, individually, if you'd talked to us individually. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you tell these people that you see that we said hi? I mean,
yeah.
I definitely would love
yeah.
them
I
all
see
to know.
Sherry periodically, but I don't know. I haven't seen Patty in years.
We're
so,
gathering
yeah.
alumni of the center.
Sherry's coming.
Contact information for the conference.
Yeah.
So
Sherry's coming here this summer.
She is?
To Michigan. Yeah. They come visit in the summer. So
Sherry,
I don't know how long your project goes on. But you might want to make the case that you should get to go to Las Cruces instead.
Like
so you might not want to share that piece of information.
Are we still recording?
We